I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I recently moved into this apartment all by myself, and I'm absolutely stoked. However, after this recent encounter, I'm wondering I should get a dog, a gun, or both. Maybe I'm being dramatic, but this is what happened. Maintenance showed up today at 12:30 p.m. I had no idea they were coming or the time, so I was still a little sleepy and hungover. He needed to fix two locks and check my water heater. This took him 90 minutes because he was talking so much. First he gets here and is making conversation. He asked if my boyfriend or husband was at work and dummy is honest and says no, my boyfriend lives 3 hours away. I did add that he visits frequently. He then asks if I visit him a lot, and then again dumb hungover me is honest, and I say I haven't seen him in a few weeks because of a car issue. As a counter, he asks what car I have, and I begrudgingly answer. He then fixes my patio storage lock, then told me to check it. When I do, he comments that I'm really tall. He then asks me if I'm the tallest in my family, and then asks my ethnicity. I thought he was flirting, but then told myself to chill. I added that my dad is really tall and lives 5 minutes away. This is true, thankfully. My dad is really tall and intimidating looking. When he is fixing my other lock, he is asking me questions. He asks if I'm 20 and says I look young. I told him I'm going to be 27. He proceeds to tell me he is 61 and starts talking about healthy food and his daughter. I start looking at the clock and trying to hint that I'm not interested because I have no spine and don't know how to say, "Sir, I'm busy, can you hurry?" He makes a comment that age is just a number and they're at 60-year-olds dating 25-year-olds. Finally, when he is about to leave, he noticed the patio blinds are open. He asks if I leave them open and then walks over to close them. He says we are friends now and he feels like my brother. I'm standing by the front door because I felt that was really weird and wanted to be close to an exit. He comments to keep them closed because people could walk by and get ideas. Also, he kept commenting that he was impressed by me, a single woman living alone. As he is about to leave, he says sorry for talking too much. I should have made a comment then and there, but just say it's fine. He says if I see him around and need anything fixed to just let him know. Then adds if I needed company to watch TV and chat to tell him, and he can take his lunch break anytime. He says I need to be the one to ask him because he doesn't want to get in trouble with the office or my dad weird, and leaves. I just said, oh, if anything, I'll say hi. Finally, he leaves. I told my brother what happened, and he said I should tell the office because that's weird. I'm just worried about him getting fired and then tracking me down. I don't want him to get fired, but want to request that he not be assigned to me again. The complex is big, and there are multiple maintenance staff. I always have my deadbolt, but now I'm just paranoid because he knows my car. What if he sees I'm not home and then enters my apartment and hides in my closet or something? Anyways, very creepy. I wish I did have a roommate or someone living with me now. Update. I told the someone in the office and the property manager is going to call me today. When I female 21 was about 13, I made the mistake of playing with a Ouija board with my then best friend. I understand now that this was a grave mistake, but 13-year-old me had reasons that, to this day, I can still sympathize with. I wanted to reach out to my uncle, as he had died in my bedroom of a heart attack a short time prior. I wanted to ask him if he'd made it to the other side, and if he was okay. He was the best man I ever knew, and I was worried for him. That, and I never had the chance to say goodbye. We weren't alone in the house, but we were the only two people awake. Now, from what I've gathered, not many people know that you can create a Ouija board with anything. For us, it was a sheet of printer paper and a shot glass. We started the session and followed every bit of advice we had found online. Phones were turned off, a white candle was lit, and we were beyond respectful. I was the primary communicator. I started with hello and got an immediate greeting. I asked who we were speaking with. A QJQ. Our makeshift planchette moved into a figure eight between each letter. Looking back, I see the warnings. Back then, I did not. I then asked, how old are you? 136. More figure eights followed. Knowing then that I was not speaking with my uncle, I still wanted to have this conversation. Would you be considered an angel? The figure eights stopped immediately, and our shot glass moved slowly to its mark. No. At this point, my heart was racing, and I asked the next question. Would you be considered a demon? Figure eights. Fast figure eights. The temperature in the room changed in a way that I can only describe as if someone opened a deep freezer right behind me. I would like to end the session now. The figure eights continued. I would like to end the session now. The speed only quickened. I would like to end the session now. Goodbye. We drugged the shot glass to the word goodbye, and the force trying to stop us made it feel like the shot glass was drawn to its figure eight pattern on the table by a magnetic force. The energy felt normal again, and we threw away the paper. The rest of the night was uneventful. In the following weeks and months until I moved, I'd wake up in the night to the sound of my light switch flicking up and down. The light stayed off. I'd hear things falling in my closet, only to open the doors and everything be the same as I had left it before. My cat refused to enter my room, but my dog wouldn't leave my side if her life depended on it. Later on, I found out that the same type of events were happening to my friend. She'd hear her bedroom door open, but when she'd turn to look, there would be no one there. She'd hear the shower running, only to be met with a room of steam, but no water indicating the shower had ever been turned on. I'm still terrified of that house, and I still want answers. I'm just glad that whatever was attached to us then has since left me alone. I am a 21-year-old female, and I live in an apartment with my boyfriend, who is 25, and his best friend, who is also 25. I had called the leasing office to ask for new blinds in my bedroom. Our bedroom has a glass window looking outside our balcony and to the view, and we have vertical blinds. I'll insert a picture, except they go all the way to the floor. Sometimes the blinds get loose and break, and they fall. In particular, we had at least five of them that kept falling all the time. I called the leasing office last week to ask for replacements. We weren't notified that anything was fixed and one blind still kept falling, so I called again. They confirmed someone had already been out to fix them, which they did, but must have missed one. I confirmed this, and they said they would send someone over to fix them for me. That was yesterday. Before I get into the actual encounter, I want to say this. Previously, I had a run-in with a maintenance worker. The apartment policy is that they are required to knock, and if nobody answers, then they can barge in. A few months ago, I had been in the shower and had gotten out wrapped in my towel to three random men inside my apartment. I was freaked out and quickly got dressed and asked what they were here for. Apparently, our roommate needed something and didn't give us a heads up. The entire encounter, they kept looking at me, and one even smirking and smiling, and it made me uncomfortable. My boyfriend ended up calling the leasing office kinda pissed and basically explained he wanted to receive a call anytime someone was coming over to basically notify me just in case. So today, I'm laying in bed. My class got canceled and I'm waiting until 4:30 to go back to school. I normally wouldn't be home at this time. I heard a loud knock on the door and I already know it had to be the maintenance people. I quickly throw on some running shorts, I'm in an oversized t-shirt, and make my way to the door. However, the door opens instead, and in walks a man. He is at least 6 foot, a big guy, he's not overweight, but he's not in shape either. I would describe him to be a linebacker body build. He's probably in his mid-40s, early 50s. I'm standing in the middle of my apartment, and I say hi. He stares at me and says, "Oh, no one was supposed to be home." I cock my head to the side and he emphasizes that he had called X and they said no one was home. I say, "Oh yes, that's my boyfriend. I'm supposed to be at school, but my class got canceled." He steps into the house and starts eyeing me, and I am instantly a little confused as to why he keeps looking me up and down, and I'm feeling uncomfortable, so I walk away into the bedroom to grab the broken blind. I yank it down and turn back around, and while I'm doing so he says, "X is your boyfriend." I say yes. He watches me put the broken blind on the table. He's still smiling at me and giving me a weird look, continuing to look me up and down before walking past me and into my bedroom. He stops halfway in my bedroom and turns around and says, "So you have a boyfriend?" I'm getting annoyed and even more uncomfortable and I say, "Yes, I live with him." He asks how old I am, and I nervously laugh and say I'm 21. He grins again and once again looks me up and down. "You don't look 21. I hear this all the time, I look a lot younger than what I am. I'm also 5'1", so that doesn't help at all. I say, "Well, I am," with my nervous laugh. He keeps smiling at me, and it's not an inviting smile. It's not one of those dad smiles where it's like, "Oh, you're my daughter's age, that's why," or something like that. It's an uncomfortable smile. It is a smile that makes me uncomfortable and confused. I say nothing, and we literally sit there and stare at each other for about 15 seconds before I turn away and walk into the kitchen. I realize I have nothing to do, so I walk back into the bedroom and grab the bowl I had been using and bring it to the sink. From the corner of my eye, I can see him watching me. It takes literally 2 minutes to change the blind, and he comes back out. Instead of walking straight to the door, he stops outside my bedroom, which is right beside the kitchen. He just stares at me and I continue to busy myself. He isn't speaking and so I say, "The broken blind is on the table, do you want me to throw it away?" He doesn't break eye contact and he's still smiling, he says, "What table?" I know this MF can see the table to the right of him. It's literally in front of him. I point to the table, right there. He glances over and nods. "Yeah, I can throw it away for you." I say thank you, and he starts to walk away. He glances back a few times before he's at the front door. He opens it and stands there for only a few seconds, but all of which is creepy and unnecessary. I'm not sure how to explain it. It seemed as if he was hesitating for a few seconds, so he pauses and then says, "I'll lock the door for you." I nod my head and say thank you, and then he closes the door. This entire encounter was creepy. Update. I told my boyfriend the story. He was very upset and says he doesn't want maintenance in our apartment without him, or our roommate around, especially if I am home alone. I'm not sure whether he plans to speak with them or not. The reason they have a key because the apartment has a policy that any maintenance are allowed to enter. They have to knock first to let themselves be known just in case someone is home, and then they have the ability to enter. I don't feel too comfortable, but I also have a taser, wasp spray, and pocket knives in my home, so I feel safe and comfortable using those things if I have to. My roommate also works only 5 minutes away and never minds answer my calls or picking me up if need me, so that is always very helpful. Thank you for the kindness and suggestions. I appreciate it, and I hope you all stay safe. When I was a kid, my family was really close to the neighbors across the street. I was outside playing with the daughter when my parents told us they were going to run to the store for a bit. We asked them if we could stay at my house. I had a cool Barbie dream house since her parents were home right across the street. My parents said yes and made sure to tell hers to keep an eye out. Once we were inside, we were thrilled to have the house to ourselves. Just like big kids, we made ourselves some lunch and watched cartoons for a bit. There was a sudden knock at the door, and the fun began. Because of the urgency of the knock, I hopped up and ran for the door, thinking it was my parents who forgot something. After looking through the side window, I saw what looked like my friend's brother. I flung the door open, and there was a man who was not my friend's dorky 6-foot-tall brother. The man looked jumpy and told me he needed me to come outside because he had just hit my parents' car. I immediately panicked and asked which one. He took a few steps back to look at the driveway and said, "The red one." My mom's prized BMW. Now, don't judge me too harshly. I was maybe 9 or 10, and someone had told me they ruined the car my mom loved just as much, if not more, than us kids. I blurted out that my parents weren't home, and he told me he still needed me to come out to see the damages. Because obviously, a 9-year-old can assess the damages to a 1990s convertible BMW. I looked back at my friend, and while we chatted, he reached out to open the screen door. It was locked, but it was one of those shitty plastic ones that could have easily just been yanked a little hard and pulled open. It wasn't until then that my alarm bells went off. I told him I had to call my mom. He started to protest, but I slammed the door shut and immediately called my friend's mom. Thankfully, she's a pretty intimidating lady, and she marched right over before we could even finish explaining what was happening. The man was obviously startled by someone getting there so quickly. When she demanded to know why he was at my door, he stammered something about selling magazines. Obviously, he didn't have anything with him, so she told him to get lost or she was calling the cops. It was at this point I looked out and noticed a car pull up, and he quickly went to hop in. I think we all came to the realization at the same time that someone had been in a car waiting for him at the top of my street. My friend's mom turned ghost white with recognition, then immediately red with anger. Let's just say we weren't allowed to be home alone for a long time after that. I, female 26, live in a flat building in a good area. It's a long, windy cul-de-sac, so there's not many cars coming in and out, unless it's people leaving or coming home from work. My boyfriend is away to Thailand for a month, and we usually take the dog out together at night. I went myself, which I was fine with. I usually feel safe. Last week, around 8 p.m., I left the flat to take my dog for a pee. My dog is extremely excitable, especially around other people. She just had her space surgery. She has a cone on her head and stitches that have to heal. I'm waiting for my dog to do her business, and a car pulls in and drives slowly past me. The guy did a friendly, neighborly nod towards me, so I did a small smile back, you know, to be polite. The guy parks at the front of the building, and I'm at the other side of the car park on the grass with my dog. I'm watching my dog, trying to get her to hurry up because it was freezing. I look up, and the man is stood outside his car staring at me. Freaked out by this, I turn my attention back to my dog. I keep looking over my shoulder, and he's staring with a creepy-ass smile on his face. I looked away again for a second, and he was walking along the road slowly towards us. I'm a really friendly person. I can be paranoid and aware, as any woman should be at night, but something about him made me feel scared. He's walking so slow, as if he wants to talk to me, so I hide behind a van mole, and I'm telling my dog, "Hurry up and pee." I can't see him anymore, which terrified the life out of me. All I hear are footsteps coming towards us. The guy peeks his face around the van, and my dog goes nuts. She's jumping around, barking aggressively, which she never does with people, and the guy doesn't take that as a reason to leave. My dog is showing that he doesn't want his presence, but even though she's doing this, he continues walking towards us slowly. I start backing up and say to him to please leave, as she's just had surgery, and she's too excited. In the most quiet, sinister voice, he asks, "What's your name?" I couldn't really hear him. He kept repeating the question. I eventually understood what he was asking. My dog is still going absolutely nuts at him. I say again, "Please, my dog's just had surgery. You need to walk away, she's too excited." Ignored again, walks towards us, asking my name. So I start walking away from him. He ponders for a minute, still smiling creepily, may I add. He eventually backs up slowly, still facing me. I swear he did this for at least 20 seconds. He walks back to his car, looking over his shoulder at me, then stands back at his car and stares for another 3 minutes. I pretend my dog is doing something when she's really just being a pain in the ass and just standing there. I look up and he's gone. I'm shaking, sending my sister voice notes about what's going on. She's telling me, just go inside. But she doesn't realize I'm frozen in fear. Eventually, I see a woman and her son rock up to the front door, so I half jog over with my dog to go inside the same time as them. The front of our building has glass doors. I glance in and the man is standing there, waiting for us. I told the woman, "This man has been following me and my dog, I'm scared," and she walks in with me. The man sees I'm not alone and walks right past us out of the building again. I run into the lift with my dog, get in and lock my doors. I decide to tell my two male neighbors about it, as my boyfriend is away, and they agree to run downstairs if I ever need them. I took a picture of his car and registration plate, as my twin sister gets the train home late at night after work, and I want her to be wary of him. Well, today I was out with my dog at 11 a.m., just doing our usual walk around the block. We walk into the building, and as we are heading to the lift, I see the guy peek his head around the corner. He was looking for me. He started walking towards me. At first I didn't recognize him, but then he smiled his creepy smile, and I realized who it was. He said, "Hi," so I said, "Hi," then beelined for the lift. He came towards me and my dog again. I pressed the lift button, just watching it come down from the sixth floor. He comes and stands closer to me again. My dog is going nuts at him. He asks what my name was. He has an accent. He asked again when I didn't understand what he was saying. I asked, "What, my dog's name or mine?" He goes, "Yours." I froze and said a fake name. He started to move closer. I had no time to pay attention. The lift was about to open and I could run away. He told me his name. I replied, "Nice to meet you," and finally the lift doors opened. I walked in and pressed the button to my floor, hoping he'd leave me alone. He ran behind me as I walked in and went, "I'd like to see you again. WTF. Shivers ran down my spine. I was so creeped out. I replied that I had a boyfriend, but thanks. As I said this, the lift doors were closing, and he tried to stick his hand out to stop the lift from closing. Thank God they closed on time. I'm only on the next floor up, so I was so afraid he was going to run up as he could see what floor I got off at. I stopped for a moment and almost pressed a different floor, but I just wanted to get into my home and lock the doors. The lift opens and he's not there, so I beeline to my front door. There's a glass door to the stairs, and I swear I thought I saw someone coming up. I ran in and locked the front door. I was so confused by what just happened. Next thing I do, message everyone with the update. They told me to phone the non-emergency police number, even just to get it on record, so I did that, and the police arrived at my flat at 3 p.m. I explained everything to them, and they said I could either get the police to go to his front door and tell him to knock it off, or be next time he does something like that, tell him to leave me alone, and if he doesn't, phone the police, as it would then be considered harassment. But for now, the police couldn't do more, which is fair enough. I didn't want to anger him at this stage, as it's not a crime at this point, but why can't he just leave me alone? I've clearly shown that I'm not interested. It just annoys me so much that I can't even leave my house looking ugly as hell without someone being desperate for any female in the immediate area. I hate saying something's going on when it maybe isn't, but I just have a terrible gut feeling. Update. I hadn't seen the guy since the last incident. However, I saw him today. I again was taking my dog out to the toilet around 1 p.m. As soon as I left the main door, I look and the guy is sitting in his car. He clocked me. I started walking past his car when he got out and said hi to me.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I completely ignored him and walked on by. I was preparing myself to shout at him if he kept following or talking to me. I went over to the grass, and the guy is standing at his car staring again. I'm a bit further away, so I text my sister letting her know that he was at his car watching me. She didn't reply, so I phoned one of my male neighbors, and he quickly got his shoes on and said he was coming down the stairs. I look back at the man, and it seems as though he has his phone out, recording me. I started shaking, working myself up to the point of confronting him and telling him to leave me alone. Next thing I know, my sister bolts out of the building and fast walks over to me and my dog. She said as soon as she came out of the building, she saw him back inside his car, with the car door fully open, and his back was turned to her because he was watching me. So she saw it this time. He looked at her briefly and watched her walk over to me. He started staring at us both. That's when my male neighbor got outside and walked over to us. The man continued watching as I told them both I think he was waiting for me to go back into the building, because why was he just sitting there? My sister had enough of it. So she told me and my neighbor to take the dog for her walk and stormed over to the guy's car. She said, "Excuse me," and he was shocked. She stood right in front of his car and explained that he needs to leave me alone. "I'm not interested. I told him the dog had surgery and he wouldn't leave, which is unacceptable." She also said that I had mentioned about my boyfriend, so he needs to leave me alone. He just nodded and mumbled a few times. She said he looked frightened. She walked back into the building, so we took the dog a walk, and when we got back, he was gone. Probably got out of his car and ran back into his flat. I mean, he made me uncomfortable, so she did it to him. Now, if anything else happens, I'm phoning the police, as they would then say it's harassment. Thank you to all the comments on my previous post. I take a can of deep heat on my walks, and I've been practicing shouting at him in the mirror, ha ha ha. Feeling much better now. I'll keep you all updated. Edit. I've also contacted my letting agency and sent them an email with all of the details, so they are aware. Thank you again to everyone. My parents rented this apartment in a really old duplex, like I'm talking 1800s, one of the first places built in town old. One night my parent went out of town and I was left home alone. I was 14 at the time and really big into gaming. We were on the second floor and our front door, which was in the kitchen, had two deadbolts. We had no back door. To give context for the layout of this apartment, you would walk in the outside door, and there was a hallway that led to the first floor apartment and stairs that went up to the second floor apartment, our apartment. Walking up the stairs would bring you to a little landing and our front door. Walking in the front door, you would enter the kitchen, and the wall to the right had counters, and the wall to the left had the fridge, stove, and a small closet or pantry. Turning left, you would walk into the living room. As you walk into the living room, on the left-hand side, is the door to bedroom number one, which was my parents'. If you are back in the kitchen, and instead of turning left you turn right, straight ahead is a long hallway, and along the same wall as the front door is a giant row of shelves, and a door to another bedroom, which was our storage room or parents' office, and also the smallest room. Going past the office, there were three steps that went down, continuing down the hallway. All that was down here was my room, the bathroom, and the laundry room, which was at the complete back of the building, and the furthest room from the living room. Now, the laundry room had one of those doors that would automatically close because it had one of those hydraulic door closers that you'd see in stores, and the door would latch and had one of those deadbolts that would need a key to lock or unlock from both sides of the door. We had no key for the door, so we just never worried about it. The laundry room also had one of those pull cord lights instead of a light switch because old house. As stated previously, I was big into gaming, and because my parents were out of town, I could finally hook my Xbox up to the TV in the living room. While I was gaming in the living room, was probably 11 p.m. or midnight. It's been almost 10 years, I can't remember the time, but I do know it was night, and I heard what sounded like a door opening, followed by something crashing from down the hallway. This hallway always creeped me out at night, but I had to go down there anyway to use the bathroom, so I went to check it out. I open the door to the office off the kitchen just in case, turn on the light. Everything looks fine except for my mom's laptop being turned on. I just ignored it and figured that my mom just forgot to shut it off before she left, or it was doing updates or something. Go down the steps, get to my bedroom door. I open it up and see that the shelf I had above my dresser broke and my books came tumbling down, knocking my TV over. Okay, no big deal. I'm kinda pissed off. But it's fine, I'll just take my birthday money and get myself a new TV, since that was what I was gonna get with it anyways. As I was cleaning stuff up, I hear another crash. This time it sounds like the lid of the dryer slamming down, and what sounded like the dryer turning on. I thought, oh, maybe the neighbor downstairs is going to do laundry. They had their own laundry room, which was right under our bathroom, and the bathroom was right next to my bedroom. Then I hear the washer start. And our washer was unique. It would spit water a few times before it would start filling, and I heard the spit. The neighbor's washer never did. Hers, you would never hear it filling because it was a very new washer and very quiet. My dad and I helped her bring it in and set it up because they are both elderly and didn't want them to try and figure it out themselves, since her husband was sick and in a wheelchair, and she was always taking care of him while also doing everything around the house and working. I walked out of the room, walked down the hall, and saw the laundry room door wide open. Note the previous hydraulic door closer being mentioned. I walked into the laundry room and pulled the cord on the light to see the washer going and the empty dryer going. I shut both off, closed the door, and went back to the living room, where I proceeded to fall asleep on the couch. I woke up, I think, a few hours later to the sound of intense crashing coming from down the hall, followed by the sound of water. I ran down the hall to the laundry room, and the washer was going, and it was on the spin cycle somehow and was so out of balance, it moved its way to the center of the room. And the water that I was hearing was a combination of water splashing out of the open lid. Our washer was very old and broken, so it would go if the lid was up or down, combined with the hose that somehow busted itself when the washer moved. There was so much water coming out of the hose that it was covering me with water head to toe, and it was all pooling around my feet and going down the hallway. I got the water shut off, and I grabbed every towel I could possibly find to clean this shit up. I get it all cleaned up, and I think, hey, maybe I call my dad's cell, let him know. I searched the house everywhere. I could not find my phone at all, and I couldn't even find the three house phones we had. I remember thinking to myself, like, shit, if they come home and find this, I'm screwed. I walked to the bathroom. My clothes were soaked, so I just kicked them off in the bathroom and went to bed in my own bedroom this time. I wake up the next morning and my parents were already home. I'm freaking out and hiding in my room, hoping they go get groceries or something so that I can leave my room. Then I hear the washer start. I remember thinking to myself, shit, they saw it. Then there was a knock on my door. My mom asked me if I had any clothes to wash. I said no, and then she asked me why I looked so concerned. When I told her about the washer, she told me that the washer was fine, the hose was fine, and everything. Then she told me to go shower and get ready. I told her, well, didn't I use all the towels last night? To which she just dragged me to the bathroom and showed the cabinet stocked with towels exactly how it was, and that I was just being weird. Then I looked in the shower. My clothes were just in the tub, soaking wet. Now, my possible theory for this, though, is that I slept, walked into the shower, since I did have a history of sleepwalking when I was a kid, but I still remember this shit so vividly like a memory. As for the shelf in my room, it was indeed broken. I grew up with just my mom, but sadly, she passed away when I was about 10 years old. It felt like life didn't have much meaning after that. It was tough, and it meant my granddad had to take care of me. His house was really small, with only one bedroom. This made things quite uncomfortable. When I first went to live with him, I had to sleep on the couch for a whole month. It wasn't great, and my granddad knew it too. He wasn't struggling too much with money, so he decided to move. We found a place closer to town, and it was attached to another house. This new place had two bedrooms, so I finally had my own room. I was feeling empty inside, like I couldn't really pay attention to things anymore. In school, I caused a lot of trouble. My friends noticed I was different, and I didn't talk much to my granddad. Losing my mom felt like losing everything, and life was hard back then. The new house that we moved into was really creepy, and also not in great shape. On the other hand, my granddad was the only family I had left, even though I didn't spend much time with him when my mom was alive, so he was the closest thing I had to a parent. Just to clear things up, he never treated me badly or took advantage of me. He loved me and never saw me in any wrong way. For some time, my friends thought my granddad was treating me badly, but that wasn't true. The real story starts when one night we went to bed. Our attached house in the UK had an attic. An attic is like an extra space between the top floor and the roof. I'm not sure what it was originally used for, but in our attic, there was mostly dust and wooden structures like big planks and beams that held up the roof. On the second floor, there was a ladder that went up to a latch in the roof. If you opened the latch, you could pull down the ladder and climb up. It was quite enjoyable, so it became my safe place. I enjoyed going up there even though my granddad wasn't a fan and thought it could be risky for me. The floor in the attic was mostly made of wooden beams. There were gaps in between filled with a strange foamy material. My granddad always warned me not to step on that part, saying it could break through the roof and I'd fall down. I guess that's why he didn't want me up there. One night, I was feeling really upset. I was crying a lot, and my pillow was wet from tears. I couldn't stop thinking about my mom. I went to the ladder, pulled it down, and opened the latch to the attic. I climbed up quickly, hoping this safe place would help me feel better. But as I got up there, I wasn't thinking clearly. I did something foolish and ended up stepping between the columns. My feet went through the roof, and I fell right into the second floor near the living room. I felt like I had hurt my legs badly. They wouldn't move, and I was screaming in pain. Just a few moments later, my granddad heard the commotion and hurried upstairs. His bedroom was on the lower floor, so he had to go up the stairs to reach me. He was in his 80s, so he moved slowly and had a hard time getting there. When he finally got to me, I remember him looking at me, then at the hole in the roof, and then back at me. There was a big opening in the ceiling, but he seemed more worried about me. He looked really scared and shocked, like he didn't know what to do. On the other end, one of my legs was clearly broken, but I didn't really feel the pain. I was still really sad and couldn't stop crying about my mom. My granddad picked me up, although he had a hard time carrying me down the stairs. When we got to the bottom, he gently laid me on the couch. After that, he tried to rush over to the phone. He stumbled and almost fell because his legs weren't moving well. He was in pain, but he pushed himself to reach the phone as quickly as he could. Eventually, he got to the phone and called for help. The medics arrived surprisingly fast. Everything felt really strange to me as I was dizzy, confused, and even seeing things that weren't real. I thought I saw my mom standing in the doorway, but she didn't wave or smile. She just looked at me with an empty expression, like she was disappointed. When I got to the hospital, the doctors told me that one of my legs was almost broken in half. The big bone in my leg, called the femur, was really damaged. It took me 4 whole months to get better, and even now, I walk with a bit of a limp. My grandpa is now quite old, in his late 80s. I take care of him just like he took care of me. I'm 19 years old now, and life is still a bit tough for me, I won't lie. But after that accident, I learned an important lesson. to listen to my granddad. He still gives me good advice and helps me even today when I need his advice. This incident occurred when I was in my first year of college. I was 18 and I took the city bus to and from school every day. I felt very safe on the bus because it was a line for the college in my town, so it was pretty much mostly ridden by college students. After the bus, I had about a 10-minute walk from my stop to my house. One afternoon, I got out of class and rode the bus home. I got off at my stop and walked my normal route home. I had just gotten onto the street I lived on when a man in a new-looking black truck pulled up next to me. The man was white, chunky, and probably in his late 20s or early 30s. He rolled down his window and asked me where something was. I had my headphones on, so I pulled them out and asked him to repeat his question. He then asked me where something else was, not whatever previous location he had mentioned before I pulled out my earbuds. I thought it was weird, but the longer we talked, the more I realized he might not be genuinely asking for directions. Then he started asking me, "What is there to do in this city? I'm new here," to which I told him I didn't know and that there really isn't much to do, just a mall and that's it. I kept walking while we had this conversation, and he drove really slowly next to me. We were getting closer and closer to my house, and I was getting really uncomfortable. I tried texting my dad that there was some guy talking to me and I was feeling weird, but I noticed my dad's truck wasn't in the driveway, so he wouldn't be much help. He then asked if there was a movie theater at the mall, and I said yes. He asked what movies I liked, and I said I don't watch movies. He asked what TV shows I liked, and I said I don't watch TV, both are true, but I was trying to shut him down. He then asked what I did for fun, and I said I was a student. I tried to hint at the idea that I might still be in high school to see if being possibly underage might deter him, but he still pursued. He offered to take me on a date to go see a movie. By this point, we were way past my house, and I obviously didn't want to let him find out where I lived. He offered to come pick me up the following Saturday, and I said no, just flat no. He then tried to tell me I was really pretty, asked if I had a boyfriend, the works. I said no, I'm a student, I don't have time for a boyfriend or to date, I'm graduating soon, I'm a lesbian anyway. I tried really hard to imply that I might still be in high school to protect myself, assuming he wasn't a total pedo not afraid to date underage girls. He then said, "Really? I thought I saw you get off the college bus. All right then, have a good day." I damn near shit myself once I realized he had been following me since I got off the bus. I had been walking for almost 10 minutes by that point. Honestly, he could have even followed me from my college 30 minutes away. Since my bus is a city bus, of course, its main stop is just the city college. Anyone can get on that bus, and unless you're familiar with the bus lines, you wouldn't know that that bus is ridden by college students. I circled around the block to make sure he wasn't still on my tail before I went home. I told my dad about it, and we drove around the block to see if he was someone living in our neighborhood, no dice. I didn't have any other choice but to continue riding that bus to and from school every day. But thankfully, I never saw him again. So this is a story from around 10 years ago. I was 16 or 17 at the time, but I recently discovered this sub, and it instantly brought these memories flooding back to me. At the time, I kind of just brushed it off because nothing bad ended up happening to me and put it down to, I guess shit just happens to you when you are a woman walking alone at night. But looking back now, I realize how creepy it really was. I was coming home on my own on a Thursday night after being out at a pub with some friends. We had been out a little more centrally in the city, so I had to take a bus on my own to get home to my residential neighborhood. I had done this route hundreds of times, so I didn't see it as being particularly dangerous, especially as I live in a fairly nice neighborhood. It was only about 11 p.m., but because I lived in a residential area, and it was the middle of the working week when I got off the bus at my stop, it was absolutely dead, and there was no one around. Again, this didn't spook me, particularly as it is only about a 5 or 10 minute walk from the bus stop to my house. As I turned down a long residential street that leads towards my house, I noticed a guy walking further down the street. This put me a little on edge, but I was reassured by the fact that he had his back to me and was walking away from me down the street. As I kept walking down the street, I noticed the guy turn around and clock me. That's fine, I thought. I always turn around when I hear someone walking behind me at night, so nothing weird about that. But I noticed as we got further and further down the street, he kept doing it, kept checking I was still walking in the same direction as him. At this point, I'm starting to get pretty freaked out, particularly as I am painfully aware that we are the only two people around. Just as I was weighing up what I should do, he turned down the path of one of the houses to our right, and I breathed a sigh of relief. He is going into his house. I was just being paranoid the whole time. The houses in my area are terraced with the front doors being kind of embedded into an enclave at the front of the house. What this means is that from where I was standing about 50 feet away, I couldn't actually see the front door of the house, as it was obscured by the wall. However, I saw him walk down the path and disappear into the front door enclave, so my logical conclusion was that he was letting himself into his house. I can't describe exactly what made me feel like this, but after that initial feeling of relief wore off, I suddenly got this really bad feeling, so I stopped walking and just stood there. There was this tiny voice in my head that said, "What if he is just faking you out?" The feeling became so strong that I stepped off the pavement and ducked down behind a parked car and just waited. After a couple of minutes of crouching behind the car staring at the house, I saw movement and my heart stopped. The man came back down the path, out into the street, and was looking around, looking for me. He must have been waiting for me in the doorway, knowing that if I kept walking, I wouldn't see him until it was too late. Unfortunately for him, his hiding place also meant that he couldn't see me. So when I didn't walk past as he anticipated, he had to come back out into the street to try and work out where I was. Looking back now, I probably should have called the police at this point. But as a scared teenager, my fight or flight brain took over, and I sprinted down one of the roads running perpendicular to the street that we were on, as I knew I could use it to take a slightly longer route home. I didn't stop running until I got home, where I quickly double-locked the door behind me. Amazingly, I didn't even think to wake anyone in my family up. I literally just went to bed, and then woke up the next morning and went to school. I dread to think what would have happened if I hadn't just suddenly got a bad feeling and stopped walking. Part of me thinks that on some subconscious level my brain must have registered not hearing the front door shut after the man had approached it, and therefore triggered an alarm in my head. But I had no perception of this at the time. Lesson learned, trust your gut. I wasn't home alone, but I was outside at night alone waiting on my brother and cousin to get ready while my niece was asleep in her car seat. I was standing by the rear driver's side door, which was open. I was standing on the inside, and then I just felt chills. Something was watching me. I gave it a good 10 seconds of just trying to look into the trees to see if something was there, but this was before I ever had glasses 20 or 200 eyesight, so I couldn't see shit. Then it started bolting towards me. I have no idea what my reaction time was to this back. Then I used to get around 120 ms on human benchmark, but it felt like I instantaneously got into the back of the car and had the door slammed shut. I heard it turn direction at the tree right next to the driveway and run into the tree line across the road. That area had coyotes, bobcats, and huge raccoons. No idea if it was one of those or something else. Trust your sixth sense.